started in a race and we've just got to finish. We can't afford to take a break right now. For it's he that endureth till the end that shall be saved. We've just got to make it in somehow. We must pass up all the exits, leave the detours behind. This highway of holiness is right. Oh, we must keep on running, keep on running. For this race is a race that's for our lives. We've started in a race and we've just got to finish. We can't afford to take a break right now.
Take a break right now. Valleys low, I love. sold all my goods and said, I'm leaving his house. He said, that's all right. I know you'll be back one day because I put my spirit down in you. And thank the Lord, that day came and I came back in here and God lifted me back up. He killed that fatted calf. He put the ring on my finger. And I'm going in that race today, Sister Jody, and I appreciate those songs of worship. You know, somebody prayed for me, and it was you. It was you, this church, and I want to appreciate that. I want to thank the Lord for what he's done, how he's lifted me up, how he's kept me out of the miry clay. And even whenever my feet start swaying back that way, God says, no, son, no, you know the right path. You know the right road. And I just want to lift up my hands today. I've been thinking, I started thinking about it this early this weekend. I've been listening to actually Christian radio in Virginia, and they've been meditating on Father's Day this whole week. And the things you said today were touching my heart, and I wanted to just get up and give honor and say thank you, God. Thank you first, God the Father. Yes. You know who I can't yes. even begin to understand. I can't contemplate. My mind can't grasp how great is our God. How great is his name? How worthy he is of all praise and honor. But I want to do my part in the knowledge and the understanding that I have. I want to lift him up. And I want to thank him for the greatest gift of his son, Jesus. Jesus, who came here and did what I could never do, who gave me the opportunity. And I want to lift that up today. I want to lift up his ministry. I want to lift up my fathers in the Lord, who have helped me through the many years from the time I can remember of being a small child from when we would be in the old church. And I would see those brothers up there dancing in a tight-knit circle, praising God and worshiping him with all their heart and lifting up his name. And I saw that, and that looked different to me. There was something there that put a hunger down inside. God was calling me, saying, this can be yours too. You can feel this. And from that time forward, I was able to start getting things from the men in the church. And you know, I can just, I'll blanket it and say, every man in here that is older than me has put something in my life. Those that have came from our, you know, I don't like referring to it anymore as you know, Republican Little Rock. We're the church in Little Rock is what we are. The body of Christ in this city is what we are today. My brothers and sisters who came from a different area into this area have been planting things in my life since I've been able to become a part of their life, and they become a part of mine. But over the many generations, I want to say that there's men that are sitting on that platform that, you know, they may not have even said a word to me, but it was their walk. It was their faithfulness. It was their life that they were living, and as much as they knew toward God, that was speaking volumes to me. It was telling me, son, you can do this too. This is a better way. When things come your way, because life isn't fair. Sin is in this world. Death is reigning right now. But there is another way. There is a way off the path of death. There's a way to the eternal salvation. That you know, I've been listening so much to that radio that I've had the opportunity, because I grew up a part of this people. And so this is what I know. This is the teachings that I've ever been eating on and chewing on. So I've only heard, or you know, heard glimpses of, or gotten from your testimonies what it's like to be a part of the religious world. And this week has been hearing different things. Let me tell you, it's been putting a thankfulness in my heart. It's been putting more of an appreciation for where I am and what God has allowed me to see, to understand where I'm at, that I'm in a heavenly place today, a heavenly Jerusalem. And I want to lift that up. I've been hearing about, you know, they were, this person had emailed in to this, I don't know, you know, I would just call him a disc jockey, but they say that a lot of their disc jockeys are pastors. And so I was listening, and he was talking about grace. And he was talking about this person that wrote in and said, hey, you know, I don't understand how God could continually forgive me for certain things, and I just feel like I'm failing it all the time. And I was really curious how this man was going to touch on that. And he just went down his pig trail of how Jesus did it all. You couldn't do anything, you can't do anything, and you know, forever you are covered under his sins, or under his blood, if you will just admit that he is your Savior. And he just kept going on down this path, and all I kept hearing in my head going over and over is, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But what's that next verse? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Church, we're that few today. Thank the Lord, we're that few today. If you can hear my voice, God has touched your life in a greater way. You know, I don't want to be one that, you know, I've already taken for granted. I've already sold my goods for trash. But you know, God gave me that second opportunity. And I do not want to turn my back on the plow again, Brother McGowan, but I want to keep pressing forward as my fathers and Lord have done that. And I wanted to lift that up a little bit today because I've been thinking about, you know, society and this world. You know, we talk about a lot of times what the youth encounters, how pervasive just this world has become when it comes to whether it be profanity, obscenities, everything. It's just in your face today. And they're not apologizing for it anymore. You know, years ago, and I didn't grow up during that time, but it's been related that if a man swore on the street and there was a woman nearby, he would apologize. He would say something about it and admit his failure right there. But today, in the office place, and there's so many that can attest to this, it's common. It's common. It's just common. I mean, I was talking with a customer the other day, and they just went into this diatribe of profanities and things, and I was thinking, what has this world come to? What are we living in today, this cesspool? But I was thinking more about that in relation to fathers and how the masculine role of a father, what he's really there to do, has been put down as nothing. The man doesn't have a real place anymore in society's mind. He's just right there, you know, hey, and I appreciate in this church and everywhere else those mothers that have had to walk that path of being a single mother, but we know that that's not God's ultimate plan. That wasn't what he set out for. He intended a father and a mother to raise up children because they need that stability. And my children right now, they don't have that. But you know what? I know I'm in the master's hands, like Brother Smith said today, and they're going to get what they need. But I want to talk about how the fathers today have been effeminized. You can't be a strong man in the Lord anymore without having condemnation, without people saying, well, what's wrong with you? You know, oh, you're being too hard on your children. But I wanted to lift up and say, thank the Lord that we do have a ministry, that we do have the teachings that we do, to understand where we can stand strong today as fathers in the Lord and realize what our calling is. I will point this out. There was a day many years ago, I was around 19 years old, and I have a very good earthly father. He's a good man. He is right now, we'll say, as far as our teaching, he's in the sea. He's one of God's children in the sea. I can't speak to what will happen in the future, but I still know that he's God's child. But I was working in a facility, rank video, and I was a 19-year-old boy, and I didn't at that time have a good work ethic in my heart. I didn't have that planted in my life yet. And I was just fed up because, you know what? I was used to working these little Joe jobs where I could goof off and do whatever. But I was getting in the man's world, and I was on a warehouse floor, concrete, 12 hours a day. Let me tell you, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And I thought, this ain't for me. I'm out of here. But there was a man who took me aside and said, now listen, Brother Phil, look, I understand it's not what you're used to. I understand you don't like this, but here's what you got to do. You got to work through it anyway. Things aren't going to always be easy. You got to work hard at this. And if you'll just put yourself into it, you'll put your all, I promise you, things will change. Let me tell you, 3 months later, I got a promotion, and I ended up working there for 2 years. And that man was Brother Fred Stewart. He took the time that day I wasn't his natural son, but he took that time to set me aside and say, let me give you some counsel. And I appreciate men in the Lord that will take that time today. And now I want to do my part, and I want to see if there's anything that I can do through my experiences, through things that I've gone through, where I can help those younger brothers below me. So I wanted to get up today and say, I appreciate you men in the body of Christ. I appreciate the men in the First Gospel Church. They are honorable fathers in the Lord, and they They deserve to be lifted up in that. And I want to also give honor to my father, the Lord, Brother Smith. Let me tell you, I have, as Brother Linger said, I have confidence in this man of God. I'm putting more confidence in him. And I want to thank him for taking time, for helping me. Whenever I didn't have a good path in my mind, he took the time. Let me tell you, you know what? I feel like a child sometimes because he's taken the bootstrap out to me a few times. He's got the paddle out and said, all right, boy, get over my leg because I'm about to aim for distance. And he took care of me. But you know what? I appreciate that today. I appreciate he loved me enough to say, you're not doing right. You're going the wrong way. He didn't fill my ears with, oh, well, brother, it's okay because you're just covered by the grace of God. You do what you will. He loved me enough to tell me where I was going wrong. And I thank the Lord tonight for that. For it, I'm still here, and I'm able to plant something in my children's lives. Yeah. And I'm going to stop that evil generation. You know, we got to put a stand. We got to, you know, I was thinking about that. As sin comes in as a flood, God will raise a standard. Well, you know what part of that standard is? That's the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, the mothers and the fathers standing up and saying, no, we have had enough of this world. You're not getting any more of our children. We're not sacrifices unto Molech. Not today. Not on my watch. They are the children of the Most High God, Jehovah. Oh, Jesus. And I want to thank him today for what he's done. And I just appreciate feeling this wonderful spirit and being here. I love this church and I love you all.
Tonight, and I appreciate him, and thankful that we were able to go to the campground. And I thought I might tell about my job situation. I'd prayed or requested a prayer here a while back for people to pray for me. I had a job interview, and I went to it, and it was a good interview. And but I was just trying to fill out after the Lord, and because I didn't know if that was really the right way to go or not, I was just filling out. And before that, a few weeks before that, the job that I have right now, I was just working part-time, and the boss offered me full-time, and I thought about it for a day or two, and then told them no, I didn't think I wanted to do that. There weren't any benefits or anything, so, but they had told me at the time, when they offered that to me, that anytime I still wanted to get off to go, they called it to my church functions, or any trips for church related or anything like that, that I could go. And but I didn't think I wanted to do that. But after I applied for that other job, went for the interview, I got to thinking about the job that I'm on right now, and they had been interviewing a few people but weren't finding anybody. And so I went back to her and asked her if the offer still stood for them, you know, to give me a full-time position there. And she said yes. And I said, well, and is it still with the same conditions that I can get off anytime I want, you know, to go to meetings and for church things? And she said yes. And I said, well, have you ever thought about offering insurance to us and retirement? And she said yes. And I said, well, I might could be persuaded to go full-time for you if you'll offer me these benefits. And she said, I'll do it. And I said, well, I said, let me talk. I said, I'm just, you know, asking you today. I said, I need to talk to Jeff and, you know, see. And so she said, well, you talk to him and then talk to me again. So we talked and everything. And So she asked me about it, you know, 2 days later, and I told her yes, that I'd go to work for full time. And so she said, well, and they would give me insurance, and they'll pay, you know, part of it, and they'll match for my contributions into 401k plan. And so I felt really good about it then, because that was the reason I didn't want to work full time. So I didn't, what's the point in working full time if I don't have any benefits to go along with it? It was the thought in my mind. And so I went that way, though, because they told me I could still have off for church for whenever I needed to. And that means more to me than a few extra dollars in the paycheck every week. So I appreciate the, and I get paid, you know, to be off now. So it's a kind of a win-win. So I appreciate the Lord working that out for me. And, you know, church is my life. It means more than, now if I was in a different situation, you know, I'd just take, you know, sometimes you just got to take what you can get, whatever the job is and everything. But we've been blessed, you know, enough. I didn't really, my husband does good enough. I don't have to be there, but I need those benefits because we're getting old and falling apart. It feels like in my, and I've had faith for a long time, I think, but it may be waning a little bit. I just know things happen the older you get. And so anyway, but church is my life, and I've always been in church. And there have been times, you know, growing up, I'm sure it happens with everybody, you know, there's times maybe when you may feel pulled on some, you know, by the world, or you may think, what if I did this, you know, and you may or may not, you know, then take that step and do it. And I'm thankful that I never went to the world. I always stayed in church. I think I've heard people say before that, you know, when they go out into the world, then they can come back and now they have a testimony. And I'm telling you, that's a lie from the devil. I just don't think you should ever accept that the only way you can have a testimony is for you to go out in the world and do all the things that you do out in the world so that you can come back and praise God, I'm here. And, you know, and I have a testimony now. I'm thankful for everybody who's come back, but that's not what we want for those who haven't ever left, is it? That's not what we want. And I don't want that for my children. I know that every parent in here, you want, your desire for your child is for them to stay always in the household of faith and to serve the Lord. And so don't think you have to go out and do that just to have a testimony. You just stay right here, just buckle down and just get under the harness, and you just stay right here, and this is it. You know, there's no need to go mess around, because it'll just hurt you, and you'll just have too many scars and too many nights that you'll lay your head on the pillow and cry yourself to sleep. I know, I don't know that from personal experience, but I have trust in enough people who told me that I believe them, and I can accept that, and that's fine for me. They went through it. They told me how bad it was. I believe them, and I want to stay here, you know. So I'm just, I always want to be that way. It's, you know, you can, there's, you're tempted as an adult, you know, too. There's things that take place in the work, you know, on your work side. And there's, I'm telling you, I thought when Brother Phil was talking about how that men, you know, would apologize or something, you know, if they said something in front of a woman. I'm telling you, the women are worse than the men.
Amen.
Now, it's horrible. You know, and just even in my little office, there's this woman in there, and she's just a lot worse than any man I think that I've ever worked with. They're just, man, their mouth is filthy, and I'll just tell you anything, whether you want to hear about it or not, you know, and I'll just tell her, you know, I'm busy. You know, we'll have to talk some other time, and of course we never get back to that subject because I make sure something else is happening. But it's just the way it is, you know, out there. So I'm so thankful for a place of refuge, for a sweet place that we can come into and feel the Spirit of the Lord. And I think that the one of the things I really love about the Spirit of the Lord is that in the same service, it can touch any person on whatever level they're on. Like, you know, if you're going through a trial and you're just, you know, really under the gun, and the Spirit of the Lord can help bring a calmness to your soul, help bring a peace to your soul. And the person two people down or whatever may just have been, had a great week, you know, and is just on cloud nine, just praising God. That same Spirit of the Lord that flows over every one of us is able to touch us in whatever place we're in at that particular time. And how great is that? You know, we can't conjure that up. It is the Spirit of God that can do that for us. And I so appreciate that, you know, that the Lord is all-consuming and he's all-powerful and he knows everything. He knows everything. And I'm thankful for the Word of God that is preached to us, and for it being made alive. And whenever I can read my Bible and something new pops out, or something will touch me a different way today than how it touched me 6 months ago or a year ago whenever I read that, it's because it's alive. It's alive. And I'm thankful for that. I could not go to a dead church. I just couldn't. I just wouldn't go if that was the way it was. But this isn't dead, you know, and we have the sweet Holy Ghost that abides within our lives. We can call on at any time, reach down into the wells of salvation, you know, and let it spring up. And I feel so blessed today. I'm so thankful for my Heavenly Father, Brother Phil, as you were talking about. And I'll confess, I'm a person who I always pray to Jesus. I don't pray that much to God the Father, because really I'm just afraid to kind of feel like he's just so way up there. I'm afraid to kind of come to him. And I know, you know, that we're supposed to pray to God the Father, and I do when I get the nerve up, but I know that Jesus is our mediator, and I feel like he came, he walked on this earth, he knows exactly what we go through. And I don't know, I'm just that way. But I am thankful that he sent his son. And, I mean, if he hadn't decided to do that, where would we be? Nowhere. You know, so I appreciate him. I appreciate his son. And I appreciate that I was raised in a godly home, and for all the good things that my mother and father planted in me. And they planted a desire in me to serve the Lord and to work for him. And I had that planted in me from the time I was just a small child. And of course my dad handled things differently than many. You know, if I didn't sing and clap and worship in service, I got a whipping when I got home, because it's a commandment in the Bible that you're to praise God. And while that was dictated to me, yeah, it still developed something in me that I can't hardly go through a service without at some point lifting my hands up and praising him, because I'm so thankful for what he did for me. So that's just, you know, how I was raised. But I had a lot of good things planted in my life, and I'm appreciative of that. And I'm thankful for my husband. He's a good father to our children. And I'm thankful to have a good godly man that I don't have to bear the burden, you know, of raising my children alone. Not only just alone, but even just, I'm glad that he's saved and in church, you know, that adds a, even if you're not a single parent, if you're married to somebody who doesn't go to church with you, you know, that's a whole dynamic in itself. And so I'm thankful for that. I always knew growing up and as a teenager, and I liked, you know, different boys, but whenever I got serious about who I thought I might really want to spend my life with, then you start looking for different qualities. You should, you know. I mean, you want somebody who's going to be steady, somebody who's going to be a good godly man, who's going to lead you in the right way, and not just somebody who is there for you today and he's got his eye on Lucy tomorrow. You know, you look for something that's serious. And I had that in my mind. I wasn't thinking about just the here and now. I was thinking about further down the road. And so therefore, I didn't really know that I wanted him at first, but the Lord worked, and no, it really was good, but I knew that I wanted somebody who would lead our house and who would take care of our children and wouldn't run out on me, you know, whenever I had two or three little kids under my feet. And so I appreciate that, you know, that didn't happen. And I'm thankful that, you know, my boys are getting older and as far as, you know, teenagers and everything and hitting things in their lives that, of course, we hadn't hit before. And so I'm glad that Jeff just handles all that. And I can just tell my boys, you know, you need to talk to your daddy about this. And anyway, we worked through things. But so I'm thankful for all the fathers is kind of what I'm going through and all that, including the one of my children. And I appreciate Brother Smith as the pastor here, too. He's been so good to us, and all of the people have been here, and I appreciate it. But he's been good to us and let us come here and appreciate him more than words can ever say. And anyway, I love God. I appreciate him. Thankful to be here. Good to be in the body of Christ. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I have a vision. This is what God is working on. This is his body, his people, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. Anything I don't know of a certainty, I know it by faith. Okay? I know it by faith. I don't have to have something, bolt of lightning, come down here and strike me and tell me this is. I just know it, and I just believe it, and I'm thankful to be a part of it.
Praise.
I just want to say I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that glad to finally be back home. Campground was good, but you know, there is no place like home. Plus, I couldn't stand being away from all y'all pretty people. But today is Father's Day, and I just want to stand and thank Dad for all he's done for me and for putting up with me and all of my problems and ramblings and all my sometimes slightly misguided ways. But it's I know it hasn't been easy with just everything, but I'm glad that you taking the time to help raise me right and give me principles and morals and a desire to serve God, because I know that without that, all the other is worthless, you know. If I gain the whole world and lose my soul, and I just thank you for everything you take. But, and I want to thank, I know it's Father's Day, but Mom mentioned how, you know, when you started looking for somebody, you started looking for the right traits, and I'm glad you picked Dad, because without Dad, it wouldn't be me. So, sorry. But I want to thank our Heavenly Father too for coming and dying and taking our sins and punishments away for us and loving us enough to accept us time and again when we slip and fall. Oh, how many of us have slipped? But he's always there with open arms to take us back. After all the wrong we've done, after everything, he's still willing to take us back one time. And I don't want to let the great opportunity I've been given go to waste. And I want to make the most with the time that I've been given.
Jesus, his son. A lot of you were gone to the campground, and we almost lost my dad this week. He had been having breathing problems for a couple of months, and he hadn't told my sister or I. And he's been an example. Sister Jody, as you were talking about a godly father, you know, we have God the Father that watches over us for sure. And but just to give you a little bit of background about my dad, and he married my mother and had two little girls. And when I was about in the fourth grade, my mother became very ill. And of course, we were so young, we didn't know what was going on. And there were mental health issues. And it was many years later that we found out exactly what the diagnosis was. So as a little girl in the fourth grade and a sister that's almost 4 years younger than me, we really didn't have a mama, you know. Sometimes she was, you know, in the home, and then sometimes she wasn't. But still yet, she didn't have the ability to be the mother that most mothers can be. So, and if any man ever had a reason to want to walk away, actually run, he did. But he didn't. He looked at my mother, and he says, "That's the mother of my two girls." And he knew that if he walked away, there's no telling what would have happened to my sister and I. And then as time went on, my dad was diagnosed with malignant melanoma when cancer was just new in a lot of ways, and chemotherapy was an experimental drug. And his doctor told him to go home and put his affairs in order because he was going to die. My dad will be 74 this year. But he hadn't told my sister or I what was going on. And as a little girl, I have precious memories of climbing in a boat with my dad and going down to the Cache River and fishing with him. And he's kind of one of those fishermen that he'll go where no man has gone before. And to this day, there is a log on that river that very few people will go across and fish back there. Well, that's where he comes out with those really nice big catfish. And but Monday, him and Joe's, for everybody's knowledge, if Joe's not here, most of the time he's with my dad. And I couldn't be more thankful right now for the son he's becoming. But they had gone down to put out the nets. Dad has a commercial fisherman's license, and so he hoop nets and he trot line fishes. And they had went over this log, and just for a little bit of experience, guys, this is kind of fun. I got to do as a kid. He always knew where that log was, and he'd get a running start, and phew, that boat would go over. Well, Dad's getting over, and he didn't get the motor choked up high enough, and so he tore up the motor. They went on down and finished what they were doing, but then they had to paddle back, and one of the paddles was broke. And he had a doctor's appointment on Tuesday for the heart doctor, and I've been going so much between Mama having her surgery and everything that I was going to stay home on Tuesday. And I had texted Joe and said, you know, I could really use a rest day. Can you go to the doctor's visit with Papa and just, you know, listen and let me know what happens? And he said, yes. He said, but we had a close call yesterday. He said that, tell me about the experience of going down the river and coming. He said, coming back up, we had to paddle. And then they had to get out on this big log, lift the boat over including the motor attached to it, and then paddle on out. And he said, when they got over the log, said, Papa laid in the bottom of the boat and said, I feel like I'm going to die. And Joe told me in his text, he says, Mama, all I could do was paddle as fast as I could and pray and ask God not to take my Papa. So I said, okay, I'll meet you at the doctor's office on Tuesday. Forget that, you know. And so they done an EKG or another one, and the heart doctor listened to his heart. And luckily enough, he ordered a lung function test. But also, by the time they got, well, before we left the parking lot, they were calling us because they could get the lung function test done the next day. So when Dad got home, there was a letter from his family doctor. They had asked, they'd been trying to call him, and neither him or Joe could understand the message on the answering machine. So there was a letter in the mail that afternoon that they'd been trying to get a hold of him. So Dad needed to have this lung function test at 11:30 Wednesday morning. So he left early enough to go by and see his family doctor to find out what they wanted. Well, his family doctor had already seen something on the x-ray that he had done that they were trying to get him back in there for a CT scan. And so they went into the hospital and done the CT scan and done this lung function test. And one of the men that was doing it came out and told my son, he said, when I come back out here, and at that point what he was saying was Dad and Joe would be together, when I come back out here, I'm going to tell you everything is fine. Don't go anywhere. And Joe didn't catch what he was trying to tell him, and so Dad and Joe left. Well, they got about 10, 15 minutes away from the hospital, and they were calling, asking Dad to come back and check himself in. They had found blood clots in his lungs, and then another test found one in his leg. I'm so thankful that I serve a God that I serve. I'm so thankful for my father who has been that example, that has passed that on to me, that I was able to pass on to my son. Because what my dad did for me is, even though I didn't grow up here in the body of Christ, he did teach me that there is a Jesus, that there is a Savior, that there is a God to turn to. By doing that, I was able to pass that on to my son. So Monday, when things got so critical in the boat, Joe knew exactly what to do, you know, and all he could do was just to pray. But more than that, I want God to know how thankful I am for his ministry and for the brothers here that lead, and for the sisters here that lead. I think I've been here now for about 26 or 27 years, and there's been many of an example, one right here in front of me, Sister Crow, you know. And I didn't have a mother that really was an example in my life, but I had a grandmother. So if you don't have a father that's example, if you don't have a mother that's an example, God always provides examples. Yeah. You know, he always gives us examples to show us what to do if we'll do it, you know. And that's what I'm saying, is that I've been fortunate enough to have a father that did keep us together and keep us moving forward, and love my mother. And I want to thank everybody for their prayers. Word had got to me that y'all had special prayer Wednesday night, and I truly appreciate it. He did. My dad did get to go home yesterday. Joe was going to be in service with us this weekend, but felt like he needed to stay on with his papa for a couple of more days just to make sure everything was safe. And but I just want to thank God and Jesus for answering our need.
thankful to be here today, and just thankful, like everyone else, for my father, which I'll have to say has been mainly Brother Smith. My father passed away before I turned 11 years old. And, you know, it's been 31 years and it's still hard. But most of all, like has been said today, my Heavenly Father, I could have used not having a dad to raise me as an excuse to get by with a lot of stuff and do a lot of things, and I've not done that and depended on the Lord and always talked to Him even that young, like He was right there, like I'm talking to you today, like, and I even told my mom, I said, I don't know that I would have the relationship with the Lord that I have today had that not happened. And which is, you know, it's sad to say, but, you know, things come our way, and I'm thankful that good came out of it. And that the Lord has hand his hand on me. And like Sister Jody said, as adults, things still come your way, and you still have to stand steady. You still have to make up your mind and make that stand and go on and try to do what you can to be the example that you need to be and feel the Lord's hand leading and guiding you. I really appreciate you, Brother Smith, what you put in my life. And Sister Smith she said, you're just like his daughter. Y'all are too much alike. But I appreciate that. I know it's not said enough of how much I love you and appreciate you and appreciate my husband, the father that he is to my children. What drew me to him was his stand for the Lord and his love for the Lord. And when everybody else was doing their own thing and couldn't wait to get out of church and act like they weren't in church, he was always stood for the Lord. And I'm just thankful for what the Lord's done in my life and that he's always been here for me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Little ring here. I think it's probably better than a Cracker Jack box ring, but maybe not too much more. It expands in the bottom so you can wear it after you grow a little. It's got a blue heart on it. Anybody know who this little ring belongs to? It's a little one. You think it belongs to... It's not hers. Isabel, is this your ring? Is this yours? This ring? No? Elizabeth, is it yours? All right. Well, I don't think anybody else in here is little enough to wear it. Anyway, it's up here if you, you know, need it. It's yours. Well, I was thinking about this Father of creation. Not Jesus, but his Father. There's so much about him, you know. We don't know what he looks like. We know he has a form. I guess he could go without one, but he did show himself to Moses at least the backside. No man's ever seen his face and lived except for Jesus after he got back to heaven, but he's never showed himself to man. That's an indication that God won't accept man in his condition until his condition improves. But we found so much out about his son that was the image of the Father. He did tell his disciples that when you've seen the Father, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, at least in action and behavior of love. And so we do know that God has a shape. He has the Bible said no man ever seen would see his face and live. Then there are scriptures that said that Moses saw the Lord face to face. We know that would have had to been Jesus. So he was able to see him and talk to him, but he never saw God the Father. But one day, saints, you're going to see him. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. He's been seen by others in his fleshly body and in his glorious body, and we may somebody down here in the end of this world see him in his glorious state. I don't feel worthy of that, but I'd sure like to. I like to get worthy that the Lord would visit me and talk to me, show himself to me. I know that's almost sounds exalted to me to even wish you could have such a thing like that happen, but someday I want to see him. Because he's done so much for me. And he's a He's ever present. He's a mediator that you can always go to. I was mentioning in Bible study this morning that under the law, there was a high priest that you could just once a year could go in to the Holy of Holies and carry an atonement, atoning blood of a lamb for your sins, for the sins of the people, and get them forgiven. And Paul said that, if he's the writer of Hebrews, he said that was a sign that there wasn't anything that would do away with sin, you know, completely. There wasn't any way that there wouldn't ever be another remembrance of sin in our conscience. It wouldn't fix the conscience. But Jesus, when he went in, he didn't go in by the blood of bulls and goats or earthly things that pertain to salvation, but he went in with his own blood. He lived a life of righteousness, God through the Holy Ghost, and he became the testator of a new covenant so that you and I could have what he had. Thank God today we're born of God. You could have lived at a time. If you'd have lived over 2,000 years ago, you'd have been living where it's been impossible to be born of God the Father. But tonight, you're born of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, which is God's Spirit. You're born of him. The Spirit of life. He's the giver of life. And if you're born again, you have the nature of God dwelling in you. And you'll have to suffer for a while and let that work in you to develop God's fullness. And you'll have to be diligent enough to do your part. But there's a place in God where there's no more sin. There is no more consciousness of sin. That you can finally get to a place where you don't have any condemnation of sin in your life. But you finally, God's this new covenant, where he said, I'll come and put my laws in their minds and write it in their hearts. Finally, it's going to become a part of you. That's working right now. Jesus did something in the new covenant that we don't have to wait till once a year. But you can go in, the Bible says, boldly. Right now, you can have boldness to go in because Jesus has made you children of God. And you've got a mediator. You can pray to God. And Jesus is our high priest and mediator, that he resides in the holy place as our priest and mediator. And he also is in heaven with the Father. So this thing has changed. There's no earthly tabernacle or temple that this is all about, but it's a heavenly temple. And we have a high priest that he lives forever. And so you can boldly go before him and you can pray to the Father through him and by him. He's made access that you can talk to God, and your prayers will be hidden, be heard. Under that old covenant, you had to go to a priest and offer up sacrifice. There were things you had to do to get your sins forgiven. You could, you know, years ago they could make altars and they could pray, but there wasn't a way to, that you could get your sins forgiven and get other than just through the atonement. And God did that. He counted those people righteous because, you know, at least their past sins had been forgiven. Oh, I'm thankful. There was no way under that covenant that you could get your sins, you could get regenerated, or that you could get transformed or made righteous where you weren't in a fallen condition or didn't commit sin. This new covenant, by the blood of Jesus, which is the Holy Ghost, by the way, that's what his blood represented. You miss it if you keep thinking of red blood, because God's not interested in red blood. There was a picture in that. God wanted us to know that there was, it's the life of Christ in the Holy Ghost. The life of those animals that were offered up was blood. And that blood represented something in those sacrifices. It represented the Spirit of God that would give life and that would forgive sin, and the love of God was that was in His Spirit, in His character, that forgave sin, covered sin, and worked with you and I until we overcome sin, the sin nature. And that we could be born of that nature by His Spirit. And that process would begin and work in us. And like Brother Phil said, it's not something that Jesus didn't do something back there that just snap of your fingers and you're there. No, it's a process. You have to know that if you ever come to God and you're saved and forgiven of sins, you have to know that you didn't quit sinning just because you repented. You found out, I still have trouble. I've still got some things wrong with me. But if you'll stay with Him a while, you'll begin to realize He's changing you. And that He'll help you. How did that song say, Sister Cindy? He holds my hand and leads the way that's best for me. That's a good song. You ought to sing it more. I remember when you wrote that. I remember when God gave that to you. And her mama, she got that gift through her mama. Her mama's wrote a lot of body songs in Fort Worth. And Cindy's wrote several. But He will lead you in the ways of righteousness. He'll help you. And I'm so thankful today, and just the thought on a day like today that, you know, He's the Father of fathers. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of glory. And even Jesus would tell you, if He could come preach for you today, He'd tell you that I am what I am because God, my Father, made me this way. He put me through a process. He sacrifices. He said, thou wouldest not, but He said, a body thou hast prepared me. And God sent Him to this earth in a fleshly, earthly body to become a high priest and a mediator and the Lord of a new covenant for you and I. We're blessed today, saints, because we're on this end of the new covenant. And not only do you receive forgiveness, you don't have to wait till September, October this year, till the Feast of Trumpets gets here, to get your atonement for your sins in the past year. You can just slip your hand up, or you can just bow your head, or you can pray going down the road and say, Lord, God, forgive me. I've made some mistakes. Would You please forgive me for my sins? He'll wash them away right there. never to bring them up against you again. Hallelujah. Now, he does want you finally to grow when this new covenant is completed. It'll finally, all of these laws will be in your heart. Commandments will be in your mind and in your heart. And you'll never pray, God, forgive me. You'll never, there's going to come a time in this world, it's almost hard to fathom it, that you can ask anybody, do you know the Lord? You'll never ask anybody, do you know the Lord? For all will know it. How about living in a world like that? How about a world where God's finally got all sin and all of the sinners and all the devils off of the earth and converted everyone that's still alive? Everybody's going to know Him. My word, I want to be there. I want to be a part of that world forever and ever. What a God that He's told me. He said I could be a part of that. Look at this world out here and the condition in it. One of the things Brother Johnny Budd got us hooked up on at the campground. He got to thinking about it. He said, look at all the millions of people in the whole world. Look how few of us there are. And look at where you are. He let you be here. He let you in on it. Hallelujah. Praise God. All these people in the world, all these false religions and all these conditions of man that man have made, and yet there's a little people. There's a little stone being hewed out of a mountain without hands. And before God's finished with it, that little stone will crush to pieces this religious system, this beast system, and the dragon. That we've never been able to get rid of it. The early church was able to defeat it for the people of God back there. But did y'all know before God gets finished, He's gonna eradicate that off the earth. This dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns will be no more. My Lord, I want to be there. I want to see that day. And I've got an opportunity to be in the bride of Jesus Christ. We're talking a little bit here today about what God's done for us, giving us good fathers and in the natural, but there's fathers that God has gave and is giving and is going to give in the spiritual that's going to help us be a part of the bride. I don't just want to meet the bride members. I'll tell you, it's hard for me to think that I could have a spot in that, but I just know by the Word of God that I've got an opportunity to be a part of that. He's called me to be a part of His bride. And all of those that have made it before us, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like to see all of those great saints of God? I think Abel will be there. Seth, you might catch up with Enoch and think about that. You might have a little break every once in a while to be able to talk to them about how it was back there. Yeah, there'll be some sleeping in the grave while all this is going on. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be there with these folks. I want to see how God is going to solve all these problems. And then to think that He's going to let me in on it. I'm planning on ruling at least a city, maybe 3, maybe 5, who knows? But the Lord, and by the way, when I'm saying me, I'm trying to say that so you'll be saying you. Can you think about yourself ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years along with all those others? See, when I was in the religious world, they taught me the bride was the whole church. I didn't know it was a separate part until y'all's the one that took me over into the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation and showed me that the rest of the dead live not again for 1,000 years. But the bride is the first resurrection, and they would rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Rule and reign who? What reign what? Over the church. Jesus will have a helpmate that will help him finish the job on this whole earth. It'll take 1,000 years to do it. I don't know how long I'll live in this life, but I'm planning on, you know, when I'm gone, y'all, when they put my casket out here, y'all, somebody put a little sign up there by the lid that says, "I'll be back." Make a little card for me, would you, and say, "I'll be back. Don't weep for me. I'll be back." I'm planning on coming back. I'm planning on getting in on this and being a part. So look for that. Put that on there. Look for me. I'll be back. Hallelujah. Well, we're serving a great God, and we have a great vision. So I'm thankful. I want to meet the Father. I feel like I know Jesus a little bit. Even though I haven't seen him, I sure have talked to him a lot. And I've studied his word the biggest part of my life. So I know what a big part of it says, and I know how he feels about things. I know what makes him, I know what gains his favor. I know what upsets him. You know, God can get up. He don't only can get upset, he can pour out wrath. You can make God so angry, he can pour his wrath out. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Brother Billy Brown mentioned that in this meeting. He said, we don't want to offend God. You know you can offend God? Yes, you can. God can reveal to you enough about him and you not do it, and you one of his children, and it offends him. And God, you know why God sent his children into Egypt? Because they were disobedient. That's why he had to send them there, make slaves out of them, until they got in a condition that they were willing to follow him again, do his will. My Lord, he had a lot of trouble with Israel to get them through that 2,000-year period, didn't he? Well, if you study the Gentile world, you'll see God's had quite a time with it, too. But we're getting down in the short rows here. We're getting down in a place where we've got to get serious about this. And there's a responsibility on us to see to it that the plan of God is accomplished. He's going to have somebody that'll do it. He don't need us. You know, Jesus told Israel, he said, if you don't worship him, he'll cause the rocks to cry out and worship him. And so I know God don't need me. He don't have to have me, but he gave me an opportunity, and I don't want to lose it. I don't want to fail him. Praise God. All right, so I feel like we've had a good day today, and appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that's been here with us and the songs that we've had. Keep these needs that we've been praying for in your prayers. Keep praying for my mother. She's still suffering, but right now, it's amazing. Her blood sugar is normal, and her blood pressure is normal, which is not normal for her. She hadn't ate anything since Friday, and that's just not normal for her to, you know. So I'm trusting the Lord here that maybe the Lord may be doing something that we can't see or know. You know, that's all you can do is trust in God when you don't know what else to do, isn't it? So keep her in your prayers, if you would. And pray for this family. I didn't get to meet them before they left, the Polite family. They was looking for a home church, and let's pray God would add some people in here to us. I feel like it's about time that we can begin to add others. I think we've blended together enough that we're capable of children being added to the church here. So let's pray when God sends people our way. Amen. Tomorrow night, Brother Durham would like to start in on the floor in the dining room. Is that right? If we can get, how many people do you need to help you tomorrow night? About at least three volunteers, if you could. What time, Brother Durham? Okay. Brother Durham's going to come about 3:30, so if you can come as early as you can to help him. Well, I'm asking for volunteers right now. Let's see if we can get a show of hands. Brother Jerry York can help. Brother Al can help. Brother Matthew is able to help. Brother Mark Boyd says he can help. Brother Daniels can help. Yeah, the more we've got, the quicker it'll happen. So if you can, come, well, it'll be a blessing. And okay. All right. We may need some, we're going to need some volunteers this, Tuesday, you're going to be working also in the dining room? Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Trying to get it stripped and some put down, and, you'll just, if you can come, it'd be a blessing. And tonight, if there's a few men could stay over and just help get the tables and chairs put in the Linegar room. Just fold them up and we could roll them in there and stack up some chairs. It would be a blessing if you could stay over and help with that. Some of you men that would be able to, it wouldn't take but a few minutes probably if we could do that. Sorry. All right, Brother Painter.
Sister Painter would like to meet with the beginner band after service, Brother McGowan, and they've got some learning material for them to take home tonight.
Okay.
So if they'll meet on the pew there in front of the piano.
All right. Beginner band with
Sister after Painter service tonight
and Brother
for
McGowan
just a few minutes.
Right after service for a few minutes.
Thank you.
And did you need some volunteers to help you with the Vena Hood Tuesday night? Probably don't.
I don't believe I need help at this moment. I think I'll have it under control, and if I do, I'll bring my boy. He can fetch stuff for me if I need.
All right. So. Well, I know the ones that are volunteering for tomorrow night. If some of you can come back Tuesday night, and then if some of you that can't come tomorrow night, if you can come Tuesday night or Thursday, we'll get a hold of Brother Durham and let him know. Let's don't leave him up here working by himself. But we can also, if you can't get it done, we'll have another work day Saturday. And so if you don't, if we can't get it all done this week, maybe we can finish up Saturday. And there's several other things that we need to do, so we need to have another work day if we can Saturday and try to get ready for our youth meeting. I'm looking forward to what God will do for the youth here at our meeting. When is it? July the 27th, 8th, and 9th? Is that the dates? 26th, 7th, and 8th. That's it. Uh-huh. coming to Little Rock. Yeah, I had several. Yes, there's several people talking to me about it. So let's be praying. I almost makes me wish some way we'd have figured out a way to get this air conditioning in here. Let's pray for good weather and those dates. Let's ask the Lord to give us some cool days just for those days this year. Are they? Brother Pelt from Brandywine's coming with a busload and van. So pray the Lord will send who we can hold. We don't have too many. We can hold what comes. Anyway, we sure need your work. You need all the workers we can have that week. Brother and Sister Sladek are coming to work in the meeting and help us, so I'm thankful for that. Is there anything else I need to announce before we go home? Anybody think of anything? Well, all right. Oh, it's good to have Sister Abraham. She's missed some lately. I sure appreciate having her, seeing her back there. Praise God. All right. Let's stand and give the Lord a praise tonight before we go home.